Those Damn Ross Kids is a podcast for adults, and the opinions expressed do not reflect the opinions of our employers or even ourselves. We'd like to hear from you. Give us a call at 419-528-TDRK to leave a voicemail, and we just may play it on the show.
Yes, I'm here now. I have things to share. I've come forward with effort.
Yes. That is the thing that we do.
Not all the time.
Those Damn Ross Kids, a conversation between brothers, featuring Chris and Cole Ross.
I've got stories to choose from.
You have stories? Good.
Yes.
Good ones?
I think so, yeah.
Fruitful?
I think fruitful.
Okay.
Yeah.
Should we figure out where we're at?
We're at 106.
Really?
Yeah.
That doesn't seem right.
No?
Maybe, though. 2 years?
Just about.
Over?
I mean...
Over two.
Well, yeah, we take breaks frequently.
Well, life happens.
Yeah, yeah, it does.
This podcast is more... I'm sorry, less important than others.
Well, I'm sorry. Is that a Ruffles or a Lay's?
What?
That chip on your shoulder.
Oh, my bad. It's a Pringle. Break it, bitch.
I don't get break the Pringle?
Yeah.
There's always broken Pringles.
Try to put a whole Pringle in your mouth. Whether you put the curve side down or the curve side up, what do you do?
Is this... I place it so that my tongue is in the concave portion of the Pringle.
Well, you're missing the flavor.
Well, are they dusted on one side? Is it like aluminum foil where there's
how
a
are
shiny
you fat?
Side? What's that?
How is it that you are fat and not knowing how to eat a chip?
I don't know. I don't use dips.
Well, neither do I.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, a dip is like a, I don't know, maybe once a month delicacy offered at a party. Way above my class. Like someplace I don't belong. But I'm just saying, like, it's been well determined that us chubby kids know how to eat stuff.
Yeah, but okay, so how am I eating chips wrong?
Well, you have to turn it over. You have to take the non-concave portion, the...
Convex portion.
Convex portion, and put that down to your tongue.
Why? What's the...
Because that's where the flavor is.
Is it?
That's how they powder them.
I have no idea.
Yeah, I talked to a guy who worked at the powder room.
That might have been a different kind of powder room.
Oh, fuck.
Than you would think.
Thanks for bringing that up.
Yeah. Was this some kind of cocaine parlor?
What a great factory that has a powder guy.
What?
In the bathroom.
Oh, yeah. I don't get it.
Factory that has a bathroom attendant.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. Somebody be awkward around.
Nah.
No?
Nah, somebody throw your change at.
Somebody you can just ignore.
Somebody with welts on their arms so you can throw their change at them.
Like little miniature targets. Yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to cut chips out of my life, so that's something.
A beef you got?
What's that?
That's a beef you got?
I suppose, yeah.
Good beef.
I've never been a fan of Pringles.
Not horse.
Like, they kind of taste like as you digest them, you know.
Sorry,
at that front
call
part,
Rubio.
I don't get it. You're reaching for a Coke.
Well, and then the drink.
Yeah,
yeah.
Rubio.
Are you in our world? Do you watch anything that happens?
No, I'm not.
Okay, did you watch the State of the Union for the guy that you elected?
I caught the highlights. So what you just did was you reached across the desk that we're sitting at.
Like way overreached the mic.
You did, yeah. But you weren't talking when you did it.
So you didn't see him trying to drink a Poland Spring bottle? Water. Yeah.
No, I didn't. I didn't do that.
Okay.
So this was Rubio. He doing the rebuttal. Yeah. Good on you for that. Should we pause? Because
no.
you just went in.
It's not much. It's a couple drops.
Okay. So this is in the rebuttal, and he's talking, and like he's chewing on gum. He's yelling at his friends.
He's
off
playing
mic.
Thumb cymbals.
Yeah. So
He didn't really show up for the actual speech. He was practicing his flamenco.
Little monkey boy.
I suppose. I don't know. But yeah, I didn't see that.
Oh, yeah. He panicked.
Like he had a full, full panty?
No, yeah, like he was chewing on a cobweb. And he reached for the bottle, and the bottle wasn't nearly as close as he thought. And like his head tried to stay on a swivel like this. And nobody ever knows except you, but he went...
was he
beyond Mike, but still in frame over here.
Yeah.
And then he comes back and he goes, oh, thank God the spiders are gone.
So did he? Okay, wait. So was he like Garth when Wayne left him alone? Was he just like,
no,
America.
This is the problem: is that he didn't say, "Excuse me, I need to have." Drink of water.
Yeah. Excuse me.
Excuse me. I'm going to take a bump of meth off frame and then not make it.
As the nation watches, I need to whet my whistle.
Apparently the nation wasn't watching.
Well, I'm not representative of the nation. So
this is true.
Yes. You
didn't know a meteor hit our world until like 3 days later when it hit yours.
What was it that Mark Twain said about Cincinnati? When the world ends, I want to be in Cincinnati because it'll be 15 years behind the times. Something like that. So that is a quote, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's one of the few quotes where anybody ever mentions the town where I live. So it's kind of a thing.
Well, Mark Twain's a guy. And his name is about the depth of a river.
It is, yeah. It's about... Yeah.
It's a pseudonym.
Yeah. That's which is why my name is going to be Plum Bob.
There you go.
Is that a thing? Is that a tool?
Better than Plum Bob, who fucks plums. Town center.
That'd be weird.
Picture it. Oh. 1779.
But the... The year is 1799.
The year is 1799. A man named Bob.
Let us step through a magical door that takes us to Colonial Williamsburg as Plum Bob. So does he take the pit?
Earns his title.
Does he take the pit out of the plum?
With his, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So this was before they had melon ballers. by which I mean a dude named Melon Baller who balls melons.
You got me.
You just take that melon and you put it you put it out back.
You don't get me very often
in the tobacco shack.
You don't get me because I don't in my everyday vernacular. I don't use ball. Like I was balling it. Like I don't do that.
Is that a
and for you to who are you?
Is that a thing? Is that a way to refer to tapping that?
I was balling that. Yeah.
I balled her good.
Hey, I'm going to ball you. Whether you like it or not.
Here it comes. Rolling in. That's funny. I don't know. Yeah, I don't...
Yeah, you got me.
Yeah, so I just...
Shot through the heart.
It might be, and you're to blame. I don't know. Like... I am disconnected from the entire world around me. I have no concept of time or how long things take. It's getting harder and harder for me to read social cues. I can't pay attention to anything. Sometimes I just lay in bed at night staring at the ceiling and faces come out. Am I losing it?
Probably.
Okay. I just want to make sure.
It's a rite of passage in your family.
Oh, man. No, I'm just, I couldn't.
If you don't automatically close your eyes and feel like you're on a ship, you're wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, but as far as like the news and stuff goes, I'm exaggerating most of the rest, but just like,
How do you not know about that, though?
About the Rubio thing? Because, like, I had to stop paying attention to political football.
About the meteor hitting our Earth.
I heard about it. I saw that thing.
No, you didn't. You heard that one was going to come close. And I said that there was a meteor hitting us.
Yeah?
And you said, what?
Yeah, but that was the same day, though.
No. No, yes, you're right.
Those
events occurred the same day, but I talked to you 2 days later.
Yeah, okay, so...
Because, like, that happened on a Sunday, like, a week ago from when we're recording this.
Yeah.
And I talked to you on, like, Tuesday, because you answer your phone, like, once a week for me.
So, yeah, I don't know. I just can't be bothered.
I don't know how you live like that.
It's pretty easy.
How do you move forward without being scared?
It's nice and quiet. I'm scared.
They're terrified.
Just not of anything anybody else is scared of. I'm a man of strange cares. Man. Let it be.
Let it be.
Yeah. So do you have, like, stories for me or stuff? Or, oh, we should probably introduce the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I was asking you about, what episode this was.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
It's like, oh, it's episode...
Yeah, so it is episode 106 of Those Damn Ross Kids. My name is Cole Ross.
I'm Chris.
We're here to entertain your asses, which we already did for about 10 minutes. So these things happen, I suppose. Yeah, sometimes we tell stories, not about us, but about the world around us.
Sometimes we don't.
Yeah, did you got it under control there?
Yeah, I just dropped this.
Okay, cool. Oh, I was more referring to the stories.
Yeah,
they're not
tabs up. Tell me
a story.
Tabs are open. Invented in 1933 by the famous French designer Raymond Loewy, was a pencil sharpener, an icon of the streamline movement.
The Bauhaus, the brutalistic.
In 2013, Francesco Moracchinini introduces the Dildo Maker from his Tools series. Playing around the cliche of sex cells, the Dildo Maker's purpose is to provide the users with what they really want, pleasure, and moreover, sexual pleasure. The Dildo Maker is just a tool which doesn't give pleasure directly. The distance created here on purpose tries to raise questions on our relationship between us and manufactured products.
Oh, cool.
So I'm going to show you the original, and if you can come around, the original and the dildo make. Which produces from carrot sticks, candles, slinkies, cucumbers, popsicles, potatoes, weenies, snossages, baked potatoes wrapped in aluminum foil and ice columns. And you will see the equation where input carrot to dildo maker. And it basically just lathes a mushroom tip on the end of any... No, come back around.
No, I see... Oh, no.
Oh, no, that's a wiener.
It's got a little head on,
like,
it,
that's
and
like, that's like a ballpark weenie. Yep. There's that candle.
Yeah.
Yep. And a stick for nature lovers.
So what I don't get is the ice. Is that for when you don't want there to be any evidence left over?
I guess so.
Yeah.
The Pope will never know. What Pope? Because we don't have a Pope.
No, we don't. He just up and done left.
But yeah.
No. So
this dildo maker is essentially a 1934 pencil sharpener that makes a mushroom tip on anything you can jam in it.
Yeah. Say jam in it?
Jam in it.
Okay. Huh. Here's the worry. Somebody's going to get drunk or high and put their actual penis in it.
I would hope that it would probably just, you know...
just go around it?
And trim off what God made wrong.
Yo, dude, your dick's wrong. Yeah.
Excuse me, your penis is incorrect.
Excuse me, sir. I would ask you to check yourself vis-a-vis the penis area. Yeah, that's
where we're at. Like a beautiful, like, pre-World War II jet engine looking pencil sharpener.
Yeah.
Turns into a way to drink Mountain Dew. Like, it's just, like, useless.
Oh, yeah.
Pop culture-y. Like, it's just, like just dumb.
Like a okay, so like a way to drink them out. I don't like a crazy straw.
Yeah, essentially. I mean, it's just like a novelty, like something that makes no sense.
I suppose, but I mean, people that want their
something that we don't need.
Yeah, I suppose
we have 3D printers. Why do I want this?
That's the like. Have you seen a 3D printer? Because I'm pretty sure they're a myth.
No, I think that on YouTube they're real.
Okay. Yeah, because nothing has ever been faked on YouTube.
Well, there's the 3D pens, which is like puffy paint.
I like those.
Really?
Not really. No, I'd.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I know. I know the 3D printers are a thing because, like, all of the wonderful gun control debate. There have been people saying like, so what? We just outlaw people, being able to 3D print guns. Like, what is this? In the Line of Fire, where John Malkovich is going to take a plastic thing and make a zip gun out of it? Like what?
3D printing is something that they tried. I think they tried to make for, like, space travel.
Yeah, yeah.
And that you take this printer and then make what you need on the other end.
Yeah, so you just take the raw material.
Sure.
Yeah, without having to be like, is this, do we need a screw or do we need a nail? And it's wonderful technology.
Go a space crescent wrench.
Yeah. Kind of. I mean, like, think about Star Trek with the replicator, right?
I never watched that.
Well, they had a machine that could make whatever you told it to. And, you know, the logical conclusion of it was, it ended poverty and it ended hunger because you could just say, like, make food.
How did you order it?
It was $14.99.
No, how did you, tell it to do that?
I forget. Like, verbally? You just entered it in.
Make, like, a tree.
Make me a tree.
Make, like, a tree.
And leave? Yeah. Take it sleazy. It
prints out Blade Runner legs.
It prints out a scale model of Prince.
Yeah.
It's the Prince printer. And he's holding a dildo maker.
I wouldn't put it past him.
So, Chris, a writer for GQ spent 9 months wearing a 33-pound empathy belly to try and prove that pregnant women don't have it so hard.
And
he concluded, and this is a quote, "I learned that I am not man enough to be a woman. This suit just underscores that." So, yeah, he took it off after 9 months. He had to wear it during the summer, you know, as you would, unless you put it on in September and took it off.
Yeah, I mean, if you're abroad that gets, you know, horny in late winter.
As you do. But, so he does this. He's kind of like, yeah, this kind of fucking sucks. But there are people saying like, okay, so where was the heartburn? Where was the indigestion? Where was the diarrhea?
Oh, he didn't even have it that bad.
No. Where are the varicose veins? Where was the, you know, the stretch marks and the having to squeeze a whole person out of the equivalent
that's the
of a gym
you
sock.
Sign, though.
Well, that's the contract you sign by with God, but you know when you're in the heavens waiting room waiting to be brought down.
No, that's the contract you sign when you release semen into your vagina.
Oh, okay, yeah,
yeah. Huh. That's your punishment.
that's your punishment for being a filthy slut.
Sure.
Jesus. So yeah. So you know.
99% of all, you know, what do they call that? Conception is done on a pile of dirt.
What's that?
All 99% of all conception is, you know, concluded on a pile of dirt.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which makes them all dirty whores.
Well, only if you pay them afterwards, which you don't. No. So that's, you have to be close to the earth. You have to let your spare electrons flow into the, you know, into the topsoil. Otherwise, it all just kind of like gathers up and it messes with your aura. So you're right. have you read about that? If you read about earthing, it's that idea entirely. It's that if, you know, we spend all of
effing
our
time in the grave.
No, it's the idea that we because we're not barefoot on the ground that much. We have all this spare electricity inside of us, and that's what causes cancer and anxiety. It's real fucked.
Sounds like it.
Yeah, a little bit. Can you stop playing with that, please?
Set that over
Thank
there.
You. Thank you. Tell me a story.
real fidgety. Aerosmiths. Steve Tyler has revealed during a episode of Australian 60 Minutes that he spent $6 million on drugs, admitting, you could say I snorted half of Peru.
Okay.
Yeah. The rocker, who'd been sober for more than two decades until he became addicted to prescription drugs in 2009, was later successful with his treatment. But in the 70s and 80s, all the way up until 86 when he received treatment, he was a total train wreck.
But that train kept rolling.
Oh, yeah. It kept rolling. There had been rumors that he had spent up to $20 million.
Mm-hmm.
But he says, no, more like five or six.
More, no big deal. It's just a regular, just real yeoman's drug work. just a budget, you know?
It's a
living, really.
What you set out for when you're a rock star.
You know, it's just whatever.
That's why all those bandanas were taped to his microphone. White blood from his nose,
I suppose. But okay, so that's like what, like a decade and a half, 15 years of drug use?
Yeah, probably.
That seems low.
Low?
I have no, literally no concept of what drugs cost.
Well, even so, let's just say 15 years divided by, I'm sorry, times 365 days times 24 hours. That's 131,400. Let's just go conservative and say 5 million. He's essentially spending $38 an hour for 15 years. He paid a union grip to live in his nose.
to live in his nose and make him happy.
Yeah.
To make him feel whole again.
Which, you know, one man entourage for the people like that. Not too bad.
No. It's a union grip. Ah! Oh, God.
$5 to $6 million
like
on drugs.
We make fun of him on the network a lot because he's a ludicrous man and he looks like a monster.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Never heard that.
Yeah. Okay.
My idol.
He's my American idol. Is he even on that show anymore?
No, he's gone.
No, he's
gone.
Yeah,
he just criticizes people. Cast stones.
Man. I snorted half of the GDP of Peru.
You could say.
You could, if you could put this in terms of like international politics.
You could say I was so high I could take off vertically.
That's a good one. That's a physics joke. Oh, man. So, Columbia University is reviewing a science professor after he stripped down to his underwear and showed 9/11 video footage during a lecture on quantum mechanics.
That's how levers work.
A quantum lever. My erect penis as Tower 7 goes down.
He superimposed a game board of hungry, hungry hippos around the tower. It's a quantum lever.
Consider time. Oh, gosh. The class was called Frontiers of Science, and his name is Professor Emlyn Hughes. He included two participants. He dressed one in black and another. Oh, gosh. Another who used a sword on a stuffed animal.
In what way?
It doesn't say.
Oh, God.
I pictured John Belushi as the samurai in... what's that? The Saturday show?
The Saturday night.
The
Saturday night stage television.
John Belushi and Mr. Saturday.
Mr. Comedy Ninja.
Mr. Saturday. It starts with the professor stripping with his back to the students as music plays and an image of a skull is projected onto the screen. I'm just reading this from the article because it's just that great. Later, two stuffed animals are placed on stools, one of which is stabbed by a person with a sword. In the background, the video shows the fall of the World Trade Center and an image of Osama bin Laden. He says, Hughes says, in order to learn quantum mechanics, you have to strip to your raw, erase all the garbage from your brain, and start over again. This guy's operating on like if we're in Green Hill Zone, this guy's in like Casino Zone, right? He's on like real like fourth level shit.
I think he carried out shock and all.
Shock
in response to 9/11. Shocking, y'all.
He's, you know what? We were all touched by that fateful day.
But Columbia?
Columbia University?
Yeah, that's special basket of nuts.
up there in New York. Well, the people are probably pretty sensitive about 9/11 in New York.
Yeah. They need to stop.
Yeah. gosh, says the university. Universities are committed to maintaining a climate of academic freedom in which the faculty members are given the widest possible latitude in their teaching and scholarship. However, the freedoms traditionally accorded to the faculty... However, the freedoms traditionally accorded the faculty carry corresponding responsibilities. So there was an asinine movie that came out about a decade ago called What the Bleep Do We Know?
I never saw that.
It was a bunch of like people who believe in the secret who like maybe read a Wikipedia article on quantum physics and were like bringing out stories about how when the pilgrims ships or when the conquistador ships came, the Indians didn't see them because the ships weren't part of their worldview or something. Something real weird like that. And talking about how like quantum vibrations in one place can be corresponded to homeopathy in different places. It was real nut bar stuff. Like real pseudoscience kind of things.
Where did you see this?
It was a theatrical release documentary.
Did you see this?
I saw a trailer of it on YouTube.
Yet you're talking like you saw the whole thing?
I know what's in it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So
I just wondered.
Okay. No.
Yeah, I thought you saw the movie.
No.
I thought you believed in it.
Oh, God.
You're telling me that I should.
No. Like, I'm going to be honest. That's probably the worst insult you've ever lobbed at me.
I didn't know.
Okay, no.
You get excited when you know stuff I don't.
Yeah, no. It's
I never know whether I should know it or whether you say
no,
you're going to judge me for knowing it.
It's real horse shit. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. I don't know. So, whenever quantum physics is brought up, like that's where I usually jump off because it's so often used to justify weird beliefs, which is real crazy.
Yeah, I mean, you know. Maybe they got the signal wrong. Wanted by land, two, you should flee.
I like that.
Yeah,
I like that, even though that was a couple hundred years before
this.
What's that?
The Spaniards.
The Spaniards. Yeah.
Oh, the Spaniards are coming.
Yeah,
saw that flick. Hey, a recent study conducted by researchers at Washington University in St. Louis found that men married to women who out-earn them are more likely to use erectile dysfunction medication. The researchers studied 200,000 married couples between the ages of 25 and 49 over a period of 9 years and found that in heterosexual two-partner couples, anxiety and depression increased in men as their partner's paychecks increased.
So they're both literally and figuratively emasculated.
Yes.
So is the idea that they're just like afraid that this woman is going to just up and leave?
Well, it's mitigated by the fact that the researchers say that the biggest weakness with the entire study is their inability to observe the micro mechanisms of what's happening in these marriages.
Oh, so like to look at like the motherfucker never takes out the trash. Like that?
Yes.
Okay. So micro mechanisms just equals the daily friction that everybody encounters in their lives.
The dynamic. Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Other than that one fact, the woman out earning.
Right. Yeah. Right. So it's just one variable.
Sure.
Yeah.
And they kudos to the study.
Correlation.
But as a headline.
As a headline, that's great.
Hey, small penis, make more money.
Yeah, that's a insecurity.
This was found on a woman's website.
Well, yeah, that's a. I don't know. It's
under love and sex.
Yeah, I could see that. It gets hairy whenever money enters the situation. So I don't know much of anything about anything.
It's clear.
So we make fun of Japan a lot.
We
Japan,
do.
China, you could say that we're just incredibly terrified because they're coming to get us. yeah. But one thing that tends to, let's say, be overblown is their, sexual weirdness, right? So openly, outwardly, it's a very sexually repressive culture, and that's where all the weird stuff happens.
Oh, sure.
So we over here in the West think tentacles and girl panties and the vending machines and stuff, but that's not the mainstream. The mainstream is the fact that a replica of Michelangelo's David,
is straight getting fucked.
They've got this creeping ivy that is going right into his butt, like that scene from The Evil Dead.
Oh, good.
No. They put it up in a. They put up the replica in a park in a small town, and the citizens and everything like that are calling for underwear on Michelangelo's David.
Well, sure.
It's just hanging out there.
Who's Calvin Klein?
That would be an awesome underwear ad.
Who is Calvin Klein?
Michelangelo's David with Calvin Klein underwear on it.
There you go.
It wouldn't hide anything because he's rock hard.
Oh, absolutely. Is that a grape leaf?
No,
what did they put on?
They put fig leaves.
That's a fig leaf, sorry.
Yeah. Well, there's there was that thing the Dark Ages. Well, no, it would have been sometime between the Renaissance and the modern day.
Your dinosaur.
It has to be your bowl. Sometime between the Renaissance and the modern day, all of these, it wouldn't have been that. At some point when the church gained hold and people were we can't have all these dicks flopping around, they just went around with chisels and they chiseled off all these dicks.
Oh, no.
But they didn't throw them away. They kept them.
They kept the dicks.
They kept the dicks.
In some monastery somewhere, there's just a...
There's a big old box of dicks.
Box of stone dicks.
Yep. and then they plaster these fig leaves over it.
Oh, your face.
For modesty.
Modesty.
Right? Yeah. So the 16-foot
foreskin, for Christ's sake. Modest enough.
It's got a carrying case. There's no problem.
I think I found a use for the dildo maker.
Holy shit, you're
Jam
right.
Those fig leaves on there and make a tip.
Oh, wow. says a town official of Okizumo. Yes, there we go. Okizumo. It's the first time we've had anything like this in our town. Perhaps people are perplexed, says Yoji Murinaga. Yeah, so they've never seen dicks before, so it's not part of their worldview.
There you go.
Yeah.
Don't see dicks on the horizon, do you? Neither do I. Okay, let's keep it in Asia. Men and women in that area have been known to do stupid shit.
Men and women everywhere do stupid
shit. Yeah, like fecal bubble parties.
What?
Fecal bubble parties?
What?
It's not part of the story. It's something I dreamed up. But, yeah. So, the article that I'm looking at shows a young woman going to a spa with her older mom. Obviously.
Okay.
And so the lady says, my mom went to get her face done at the beauty salon, so I went with her. What I saw instantly shocked me. I couldn't look. The mom was getting a procedure called Hualuyao, and I'm going to do this thing. It's H-U-O with a smile mouth on over top of it. L-I-A with a apostrophe over top of it and a no.
Yeah. Hualuyao.
Sure. Yeah. Great. Good job.
What?
No, nothing. You're better than me.
At pronouncing things.
I know. That's good. It says that this procedure involves a specially prepared secret elixir, which is soaked into a towel and placed on the problem area, in this case, the face and eyes. Then some alcohol is added as a starter fluid. When everything's set, they light it up.
Oh, no.
After a few seconds, the flame is put out.
As is the dim candle of her remaining life.
Yes. So they're essentially dousing women with fire. I'm going to try to show you this picture if I can. But it looks like something at a Japanese steak grill.
Holy shit.
Yeah, it's Benihana on a face.
it's dinner and oh my God.
It's dinner and why?
So I imagine the ointment is some kind of insulation. For fucking real, dude. Just put it away. Chris is playing with a plug, and I've warned him repeatedly to stop. It's
baby Jesus.
So I imagine that this is some kind of trickery where the cream is like some kind of fire resistant.
No, you know, it's cucumber kerosene.
Cucasine. That was probably the dumbest thing.
No, they sell that in Istanbul. Black market.
Yeah. I'm gonna reference something from another podcast, but I've been going back and listening to Radiolab recently.
I don't know what that is.
Really?
No.
It's an NPR show. They've run some segments of their stuff on This American Life, but it's really, really well produced, and it's these two guys, and it's a show about like where science meets people, you know, humanity. It's real good. So they pick topics like just like numbers, and they talk about like really weird stuff. Just have like shocking but true, and things like that. It's real neat. They're talking about the placebo effect. And they told this anecdote about like this, this guy over, I think it was like in Africa or maybe it was like the West Indies who, he was skeptical about this stuff, but he found himself in a situation where he had to like somebody was like, oh, please, heal this person. So he sang a song and then like a trick that you do when you're like a shaman or a healer or something is you put feathers in your mouth and then you lean down over somebody's chest and you bite the inside of your cheek until the feathers get bloody. And then, suck on that. And then you just like lean back and you go, and you spit out these bloody feathers and everybody thinks that you suck the evil out and then they get better. So it's like that if you set somebody on fire. People do horrifying things to look beautiful, quote unquote. Do they show the after picture on that?
No.
No?
No, it's not an advertisement. They're not advocating that this happens.
You're not reading an advertorial?
No. No, not at all.
Yeah.
No one should run into a burning pet shop and rescue snakes.
This has been Those Damn Ross Kids.
That's good.
Okay. Cole, what can they do?
You can go to iTunes and leave us a rating or a review. You can go to duckfeed.tv/thosedamnrosskids, where you can find other things like our Facebook group. You can comment on that. You can comment on the individual episodes of the show. And you can tell friends. If you'd like to support the network monetarily, there is duckfeed.tv/tipjar, where there is a link to Amazon. You go there, you have the same Amazon shopping experience, and we get a little percentage of that. And that does a lot towards helping us cover things like the website hosting these files, et cetera, et cetera. In kind of like other network news, there are shows that you can go listen to. If you like general purpose comedy, like we do, The Pitch is real funny. That is done by Gary Butterfield and his friend, Brayton Cameron. I always forget his last name. Real funny show. And then we also have Bonfireside Chat, where we just had, Russ Frustick from polygon.com on as a guest to talk about a certain level of Dark Souls. But yeah, that's the big stuff. Did I forget anything?
You got it.
Cool.
Night. Night.